The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I'll give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I'll give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy serpent. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not then have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he'll grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Second reading speaks about the call to vigilance, the call to be ready, because we know neither the day nor the hour, nor the minute. And there's many interpretations of that. One would be, we never know when God is going to allow the devil to tempt us. It can even happen here in church. So we have to be constantly vigilant, and we have to be constantly in an attitude of watchfulness. And the other would be, other interpretation would be, we don't know when we're going to die. We know we're going to die. Nobody can escape death. But when, where, why, how it's going to happen, that's a mystery. And look what happened in Texas, 2 weeks ago? And in Las Vegas, that's already about 5 weeks ago? These were shocks. The whole country was shocked with these two slaughters of innocent people. So, my message today is going to be pretty simple, and I'm going to invite you to try to undertake a practice as we head toward the end of the church year. And we're going to be starting the new church year in a matter of a couple of weeks with Christ the King. Then we celebrate Advent, which is the beginning of the new church year. And it's this. The most important moment in our life is the moment that we die. That's by far the most important moment in our life. The moment that we're going to die. The two worst things that could happen to any of us, one is bad and another is far worse. First is the reality of committing a mortal sin. That is horrendous, but very common because we become desensitized in the modern society. But there's something worse than committing a mortal sin. And that would be to die in mortal sin. Because if you commit a mortal sin, you can always repent. And God is always willing to forgive us. He's slow to anger and rich in mercy, as we read in sacred scripture. Always, he's ready to forgive us. But if we die in the state of mortal sin, then we have lost our soul for all eternity. And that is by far the most horrendous, I'd even say scary thing that could possibly happen to any of us, and we could all lose our souls by abusing our freedom. Now, what is a mortal sin? A mortal sin, there are three conditions. Number one, grave matter. Number two, full knowledge. Number three, full consent of the will. If those three conditions are met, then that person has committed a mortal sin. And that person has lost God. And that's the worst thing that could happen. So if we ever fall into mortal sin, we should try to get out of mortal sin as soon as possible. I'll give you two or three analogies. Okay, what would happen if, okay, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you woke up and you noticed that your house was on fire? Would you call the firemen at 7 o'clock in the morning? Hello? Why not? Because your house would be incinerated. You're going to call the firemen right away. Right? See how much we tend to our physical house? Second analogy. What would happen if your five-year-old son or granddaughter or grandson accidentally, instead of drinking Coca-Cola, drank rat poison? Would you wait about 2 days to call the paramedics? Why not? Because that kid would be dead. The kid would be dead. You're going to call right away. So my analogies are very simple, easy to understand. With respect to our house, we do all we can to save our house. With the house of our soul, which we call our body, we do all we can. But you might have someone here in the church this night that you miss Mass on Sunday. You miss Mass on Sunday. Is Mass important?
Yes.
So you know that, right?
Yes.
So if you miss Mass on purpose, what type of sin is that? You've lost God. You've lost God. You ought to rush to that confessional quicker than if your pants were on fire. You ought to rush so you can get out of mortal sin as soon as possible. So I'm going to give you tonight one practice that my mother taught me 54 years ago when I was 7 years old. Good teacher. Now, we can't always find a priest to go to confession. This church, you got a lot. You're kind of spoiled here. You got a lot of priests, okay? You got a lot of priests. Most churches are going to give you 45 minutes to an hour on Saturday and basta. Basta. That's it. And there are less and less priests. Less and less priests, at least in this country. So what are you going to do? Say, for example, the father, his name is Juan, misses Mass on Sunday and he's got four kids. Pure laziness. Wants to watch football, or wants to watch baseball. Well, that's already over anyway for the next few months, no? But for some dumb reason, he doesn't go to Mass. So he has committed a mortal sin. His wife has committed a mortal sin. And it's compounded because they've given bad example to the four kids. That's called a scandal. Scandal means when you're damaging the innocent. He is in mortal sin. But it's 9 o'clock at night. You're not going to go to the rectory and pull Father Antolini out of his pajamas to come into the church to hear your confession. That's wrong. Don't do that. So what can you do? I'm going to teach you tonight, as simple as possible, one of the most important practices I think that can be used so that you can get back to the state of grace as soon as possible. And the younger generation have never heard this. We who are 50 or 60, we're brought up and raised with this because of our good parents. And it's called the practice of making a perfect act of contrition. I repeat, the practice of making a perfect act of contrition. What does that mean? Okay, Juan missed Mass, mortal sin. His wife missed because of him, compounded. His four kids missed because of him, compounded four times. But he can't make it to confession. What happens if he dies that night? Where is he going? Okay, I'll spell it out for you. H-E-L-L. How do you pronounce that? Can't hear it too well. He's going to go to hell. He's going to go to hell. However, there is a saving grace. That I'm going to pray for you that you people will remember this homily. Because this is a matter of life and death. Juan can make a perfect act of contrition with God's grace. With God's grace. How is he going to do it? Close the door. Look up at the cross. And Divine Mercy and Our Lady, utilize images. We're not Jehovah Witnesses. Use the images. And Juan should say this, looking at Jesus. Jesus, you were nailed to the cross because of my sins. 2,000 years ago, you were nailed to the cross because of the fact that I missed Mass last Sunday because of pure laziness. It's my fault. I was the one that nailed you to the cross. Hands and feet, an open side, and the crowning too. Jesus, I am really sorry for having done that. Lord, I'm sorry. And maybe even tears will well up in his eyes. Tears welling up in his eyes, starting to trickle down his cheeks. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm the one that put you on the cross. And I'm the one that's responsible for giving bad example to my wife and my kids. Lord, I promise, with the help of your grace, that I will never never, never, never again miss Mass on Sunday. Never. Lord, I prefer to die rather than ever to do that again. And get up and kiss the crucifix and say, Jesus, I love you. And I want to love you more and more. Now, if Juan corresponds to that grace, what happens? The grace of God comes back. He's in the state of grace. So if he dies that night, okay, purgatory, okay? Purgatory. He's in the state of grace. He's in the state of grace. Now, probably none of you in the church have probably ever heard that before. This is good Catholic teaching that we haven't heard in maybe 60 years. And this could be a matter of eternal life and eternal salvation. And then Juan is going to take his family Monday, 5:30. Father Antolini is in the confessional there. He's not in his pajamas, okay? He's in the confessional there. And you're going to make a great confession with your family. Going to stay for Mass, receive Holy Communion, and then say the rosary, then go off to celebrate at Pollo Loco. So I pray that all of you will understand this concept. Mortal sin is the worst thing in the whole universe. And dying in it, you're lost for all eternity. But God is rich in mercy. Try every night before you go to bed, examine your conscience and tell God that you're sorry for your sin. Tell God that you love Him. Tell God that you want to die and to go to heaven forever. So in this Mass today, I'm going to pray for you people that none of you will die in the state of mortal sin. That all of you will die loving God. Amen.